hands and close your eyes. It's 12:30, and you're listening to the Ghost Story Pass.
Welcome to the Ghost Story, guys. I'm Brennan Storr.
I'm Ian Gibbs.
And this is the show where we talk about spooks, specters, and all the other things watching us from the shadows beyond the campfire. Some conversations only make sense after the sun has set, and this is most definitely one. Thanks for tuning in. This is episode 29, and we're coming to you from that tiny mountain cabin you dream about but can never quite reach. How you doing, Ian?
I'm doing well, Brennan, and happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much. It's a little early, but you celebrated.
You
brought me some vegan mousse and some vegan cupcakes.
That you couldn't eat.
Well, you didn't know. That's fine. The problem with vegan shit is that they always make it out of almonds.
Yes.
Because vegans assume their magic vegan powers protect them from other allergies.
Well, and you got to pack in your protein where you can, I guess.
So well, yeah, that's it,
get
too.
Get that almond
in
there.
No, I just have terrible allergies. So, but that other cupcake looks really delicious, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
Oh, you should take it home to Nikki.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Score me some brownie points.
She's given me cupcakes in the past.
So that's true.
Merely return the favor.
And she's having to put up with me now. I've been gone for 10 days.
Yeah.
So she's having to put up with me again. So there's like a real adjustment period she's got to get through.
Well, like a depressurization kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the house is always so neat.
And tidy and quiet.
Oh, yeah, and it smells good. It smells good. I don't know what it is. It just smells good. And then I come home and everything goes to shit.
Yeah.
So it's...
Then the cupcake will help. Don't tell her it's vegan. That would ruin it.
She's like, throws it in the trash.
This is weirdly dry. Yeah.
So you want a divorce then?
Huh? This is a cold thing you're doing to me.
That's right. There are easier ways to do this.
And much kinder.
That's right. But yes, my birthday is creeping up. I will be 35 years old.
Which is so great because no one believes that.
No, I know. Everyone thinks you, well, we're the same age.
We're the same.
Which is just devastating. Although I did get you good.
You did.
On your birthday.
I was like, what the hell? and then I actually watched the video.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
God damn it.
For those of you who don't know, on March 10th, Ian turned
46.
46, that's it. And I was traveling. I was on my way down to Las Vegas. I was in Calgary Airport, and I recorded a video telling our listeners to wish Ian a happy 50th birthday.
Unbelievable.
Bless you. Thank you so much. I mean, it was great of you to do that.
It was amazingly sweet of people to say something, but I spent the whole time being like, nope, nope, 46, nope. But I did, like you say, I had that wonderful sense of satisfaction knowing that people who see us think we're the same age. So.
Well, yeah, that's because I've treated my body like Earth's most horrible playground. Or amusement park, I guess you'd say. So it's,
the devil's stomping ground.
Exactly. Just cramming chicken wings through there and whiskey.
Whatever
and
would get in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
get in and stay down.
That's right.
That was your major diet. Get in and stay down.
Down.
So yeah, I guess the chickens are coming home to roost now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, full on, I was going to say full on Malcolm X, but no one's going to get that reference.
I don't get that reference.
It's fine. Google Malcolm X chickens roosting. You'll get it.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on. That was that bizarre historical reference. This episode is obviously coming a little bit late. That's because, again, I've been out of town. I was gone from the 10th to the 20th, or from the 9th to the 20th, actually.
And I'm powerless to do anything on my own.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And so this is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode because we didn't have a ton of prep time. But for most of it, we're going to be talking about some of the things I saw on my trip and some of the ghostly experiences I had.
Yeah, some very cool ones.
Including, and you're not going to believe this, but we'll get into it, a trip to Zach Bagans' Haunted Museum in Las Vegas with Shannon from Into the Fray.
Who is awesome.
Who is great.
But Zach is a douche.
He is not my favorite person.
No.
But I did go to his museum.
And he was there.
He was. I did not see him. Thank God.
That would have been awkward.
Before we went there, Shannon sent me a text and said, sometimes he's there. Sometimes he greets groups. I hope that you have to greet him. And I thought that's awful.
That would have been amazing. Oh. A picture of him and you with that weird look you get.
Oh.
That would have been so great as you're like painfully trying not to look like you hate the guy. That would have been perfect.
Yeah, my hands wrapped around his pencil neck. Jamming those goofy glasses up his nose.
Yeah.
See, the scary thing is, because, you know, you and I have been doing this for a year now, just saying whatever the hell we want without consequence.
Right, because, you know, no one listens.
We have a very few people. You know, well, we have a nice listener base, but we're not, you know, I don't worry about Zach Bagans listening to the show.
No.
But then it occurred to me, he's upstairs.
Right.
And it's a chance I could meet, and just all of a sudden it was very immediate, and I thought, oh,
You're like, oh, my words do have consequences?
Uh-oh.
What?
Spaghetti.
Glad you're learning that at 35.
35 and 29 episodes into a podcast that...
Dude, well, and if anybody tags him in it...
We'll tag the Haunted Museum when we post it, because we have to.
Yeah, but thankfully, we're safe in Canada now, so he can't get it.
I'm sure he's done something.
Can't cross running water.
No, yeah, can't come out in daylight.
That's right.
He'd never make the flight.
We'll get into it later, but given the incredible collection of weird shit he has in that museum, I wouldn't be surprised if he had some kind of like Scooby-Doo-esque mystery machine plane.
Yeah,
that he flies in alone. And so I'm not, you know.
Or a gypsy caravan.
Yeah, or, yeah, could be.
Takes him through the night.
Yeah, exactly. Like what's it, the one that goes to Dracula's castle?
Yes.
None of this would surprise me.
No.
So.
No. Excellent.
So on this episode, we're going to be talking about the Museum of Death in Los Angeles.
Cool.
The Queen Mary, which is docked in off Long Beach.
Very cool.
And Zach Bagans' Haunted Museum. All after the break. We will be right back.
And we're back, and we are talking mainly to Brennan tonight.
That's right.
About his trip, because you hit some pretty cool places.
Yeah, the point of the trip was actually took my mother. My mother had never been on a plane.
I love
She'd
that.
She'd never been out of the country.
Yeah.
So we set
Has
up-
she left BC?
A long time ago.
Wow.
She went to Alberta.
Ooh.
I don't think she'd been back there in a while.
I don't think it counts.
Okay, then no. Then no. So I wanted to, we've been planning this for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get her out of the country and show her some places.
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
Where would be a good place to start? And I thought, well, Vegas is a great hub. You know, you can fly into there. You can go check out the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
You can go to Los Angeles.
It's very accessible.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it's everywhere. So that's what we did. And then.
Did she like Vegas?
She loved it.
Like, not everyone loves it.
No, that's it. And to be honest, I don't like Vegas. I don't like the Strip.
Right.
I've actually developed a real affection for downtown, which is north.
Yes, I've been there. Old Vegas.
You know, it's not a place I'd want to spend a lot of time walking.
I saw a man poop on the sidewalk there.
Yeah, I believe that. I have no problem believing that.
That was Fremont.
Yep. So, no, it seems like that kind
it's
of place.
It's a lot more real.
Yes. I remember back in 2008, the very first time I ever went there, and we ended up at Fremont just as it was closing. And, man, as the lights turn off from one end of the street to the other, it's like watching a toilet flush in reverse. It was alarming. I mean, it's actually progressed a lot since then. I mean, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Problem with the Strip is it's expensive. I mean, there are a ton of ghost stories about the Strip, but I've never had an experience on the Strip, and I always kind of wonder if it's just because it's so busy.
I think that's it, because I know for me, even if I'm in a super haunted place, if there's a lot of people there, it kind of dilutes that energy.
Yeah, I feel it doesn't have time to collect.
No, so you don't really get to feel it. So, okay, so you did Vegas, and then you were off to L.A.?
We went to L.A., and the first major attraction we went to, and the one that I'm going to talk about first, was the Museum of Death.
Fun.
Yes, which I believe it's on Sunset, and it originally was opened in San Diego, in, I think it was a mortuary that was owned by Wyatt Earp.
Very cool.
Yeah, and now there's one in L.A. and one in New Orleans.
Oh, they're a franchise.
Apparently, yeah.
Nice.
It's $18, and you start off in a little gift shop area. And the guy tells you, he says, the ticket's good all day, but if you get overwhelmed, don't feel bad because he said it happens.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of intense stuff in there.
Yeah.
And he said, just take your time.
So what was the most intense thing for you in there?
The first room you walk into is literally all serial killer art.
Whoa.
So there's original John Wayne Gacy paintings.
That's deranged.
There's correspondence from Gacy, I think maybe from Dahmer. There's...
Right.
Postcards. I don't remember all the killers' names, but there's original postcards they've made.
Wow.
So that's intense. And I felt presence in there the second I walked through the curtain. And I don't think it's conscious presence, but I think it's the fact
it's residual.
That residual. You've got all these really, really intense things in one small
place.
That
makes sense.
In the next room, they have an electric chair. They have a
miniature. Did you try it out?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm fine, though. Yeah, I used it to cook my leftovers. Yeah, no, they put it on my brain and nothing happened.
Weird.
Yeah, I know,
just
right?
Sort of a weird echoey sound.
That's right. Yeah, the hamster that sweeps up there kind of made a noise.
Sorry, you're saying.
Yeah, no, they have the electric chair. They have a severed head. Beautiful antique cabinet with teeth and nails. And above that, they have funeral cards.
Okay,
because
yeah.
I guess they
yeah.
used to issue invitations
yes,
for funerals.
Yes.
So they have those framed on a wall.
And you would keep those as sort of a remembrance of the person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I think, because I mean, I know what you're talking about. Those are like the booklets they give out now.
No. They would be the cards originally before the booklets ever.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
The funeral cards were what you kept. And if you couldn't go to the funeral, at least you had the card.
Right, okay. Like, yeah. So, yeah. And I think a lot of this stuff comes from estate sales yes. and antique stores because a lot of the stuff was old, like Victorian, you know, that kind of
Victorians
era.
Were all about death.
Oh, of course,
absolutely
yeah, yeah, yeah.
fascinated by death. They were the ones who did the mourning jewelry with the hair woven in.
Oh, right, yeah.
They were big into that. That was a huge thing with them.
And I believe they had some of that stuff there.
Yeah.
They had some of that jewelry.
Cool.
They also had, you know how you can have your ashes compressed into yes. diamonds and stuff like yeah. that? They had a few of those.
And what do they look like? I heard they're really shitty diamonds.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're not going to be wearing this to a movie premiere or something.
Well, what's the point?
Well, I don't know. You're weird, I guess. I like the idea of just having your body turned into like a tree.
They have that at Royal Oak now.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. It looks like a pod, and they put you in this sort of papery, cardboardy pod in the ground, and they plant a tree on top of it, almost directly touching the pod.
Right.
And then as the roots go down, the pod disintegrates, and it draws from your body.
Nice. I like it.
So you can go there and have a green burial there.
I would love that.
All right. I'll arrange that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, get that set up. I'm going to outlive you. I promise you I'm going to outlive you.
Sure you will.
And dance on your grave.
You look the same age as me.
F*** you. I mean, I won't get into a room-by-room breakdown, but, you know, they had this gorgeous Santa Muerte / Day of the Dead exhibit. A number of animal skulls, you know, elephant,
yeah.
giraffe, things like this. They had a whole room dedicated to California crime.
Oh, wow.
So they had
Manson.
They had one of Manson's, I believe they had Manson's old guitar.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of the little figurines. I guess he used to make figurines out of the elastics from his underwear.
As you do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as if you're Charles Manson. But he would make these figurines, and they're actually quite disturbing. I mean, the ones they had there, I believe, were spiders.
Right.
And maybe there might have been a scorpion. But just they're just lumpy plastic things, but they're just have an unnerving aspect to
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a huge collection.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised people take the whole day.
Well, I am kind of into that kind of stuff. I'm interested in that sort of thing, the way we deal with death,
right.
I guess, sociologically. There's a website called findadeath.com. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
No.
It's by this guy named Scott. He runs, one of our listeners, Pete, works for Scott.
Oh, really?
He runs a Dearly Departed tour.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and Pete works for him. Anyway, Find a Death. I've been reading Find a Death for probably at least 10, 15 years.
Oh, okay.
And it's got the last stories of famous people. So, like, the death of Clark Gable, the death of, you know, River Phoenix. He's got all of this, and he's got a lot of cool pictures, and he's also very, very funny. So you can really tell when he doesn't like somebody, like the death of Queen Prince Margaret. Hilarious.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. So funny. So you might want to put that in the show notes, actually.
Yeah, I will. We'll link that in the show notes. I'm really hoping to get back to L.A. I'm hoping that things kind of go my way later this year, and I'll be able to go back down there.
Cool.
I love hanging out in L.A.
Yeah. So Museum of Death, and then what else did you do?
Saturday, we moved out to Long Beach
right.
and the Queen Mary. Now, of course, the Queen Mary is an ocean liner that you know. But
I've always wanted to see
yeah,
it,
yeah.
actually.
And just in case anyone in our audience doesn't know, the Queen Mary is an ocean liner built by, I believe it's the Cunard Company. Is that how it's pronounced?
Cunard. Yeah.
Yeah, in the 1930s. It was converted to be a troop ship during the Second World War and then converted back to an ocean liner.
Right.
And now it's permanently docked in Long Beach. And it's a hotel. They do historical tours. And, of course, it's rumored to be very haunted, so mm-hmm. they do ghost tours.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe Casey actually mentioned that she had done the Past Glory tour or something like that, which is the more historical tour.
Right.
And so she had said that her experience on the ship was there was no activity.
Right.
So we, as I said, we set up a night there. And I actually, for the record, I don't recommend you stay overnight. It is quite expensive.
Well, you were telling me, like, all kinds of surprise costs.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like a real cruise ship.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I booked the room for $159, and then you get there, and there's a sign on the desk for about a $16.95 fee for Wi-Fi and fitness center.
Right.
And then they charge you $22 a night for parking.
Right. months.
So I think it was 200, went from 159 to with tax and all these fees, 240, and that's U.S.
Wow.
So that's substantial.
That's a lot for us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a lot in the U.S.
Yeah.
But the ship itself is incredible, and our room was on the main deck. And the way the place functions is, as I said, it's permanently docked in Long Beach Harbor.
Right.
But there is a separate structure that it's sort of connected to,
yeah,
which has the elevators, and
right,
it's also where the smoking area,
right,
and there's also a smoking area up top, but primarily that's,
which would be important for your mom,
exactly, she does like it. So you go up to the third floor on the exterior, the sort of the outside building, connect, go across the gangplank to the main lobby. The main staircase is opposite the check-in desk,
right,
and it's all finished in this, you know, very highly lacquered wood, very very old world sort, right, of charm, you know, you get really takes you back.
Right.
You know, it's not hard to imagine it in you know, as a cruise ship.
Yeah.
So we decide to drop the stuff, and then instead of heading back to the main lobby, which is still full of people, we start walking around the other way. And, of course, the thing I learned, which I did not realize, is if you're going to stay there but you want to do a tour, you have to book the tour when you book the room.
Oh.
Yes, because we missed. They were all booked.
Right.
Except,
wow,
for, I think, for some $85 stupid ghost hunting thing, which I'd rather set myself on fire,
yeah,
than do.
Pretty much, no.
We got to the back steps, and the back steps were the first place I felt something.
Hmm.
It wasn't dramatic, but I stepped on the bottom step.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I got dizzy.
You're triggered, yeah.
Yeah, at the Museum,
yeah,
of Death.
Yeah.
I remember there used to be the Bird of Paradise pub here.
Right, yeah.
Happened there.
Is it gone?
Yeah, it's been gone for a while. It's just a full-on, it's just a liquor store now.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was in trouble for,
yeah,
a long,
oh,
time.
Yeah, it was a dump.
Sorry, anyway.
No, it's fine.
Local color.
That's right. So we stepped on the, and then I realized the air felt different. The air felt,
yes,
very heavy, and my,
yeah,
skin just prickled.
Yeah, that's a pretty good indicator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the first indication, and I thought, okay, so there is something here. But again, it felt like energy rather than something conscious.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't encounter something conscious until later that night.
Hmm.
Or what I think was conscious.
Right.
So, we've been exploring the ship, walking around, and Catherine, who regularly writes in, she said that she'd been on the ship, and she felt really creeped out in what's called the isolation ward.
Right.
And that is sort of inside the ship, but you reach it via the exterior deck.
Okay.
And that is where they put people who were sick.
Right, yeah.
And, I mean, it's a very creepy stairwell.
Yeah.
You know, it's very metal, it's dirty, and there's a bottom part that's sort of blocked off, you can't get into. So I can understand why it would feel creepy.
Yeah.
I didn't feel anything there, but about 10 o'clock, 10 or 11 o'clock, we were walking around. And I don't even remember how we got to this particular part of the ship or where it was. But there was an alcove, maybe about 50 feet long and about 10 feet deep. But the alcove was bisected by a pillar.
Right.
And on one side of the pillar, it was open. You could see the window. On the other side of the pillar was a black velvet curtain on a frame.
Right.
And I've discovered that when I notice something, when I become aware of something for no apparent reason,
there's a reason.
There's a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
we did a ghost tour in Vancouver a couple weeks ago, and
as good as mine?
No. Nope.
Really?
Oh, really? Yeah.
I wasn't for sure.
No, I know. No. Bless them. You know, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But I prefer the tour here.
Yeah.
But they were talking about some alley, and I thought, oh, this is a bunch of bullshit. But I kept noticing this door at the far end.
Right.
And that was the next stop.
Oh, wow.
And it turned out to be Blood Alley.
Oh, I don't know about Blood Alley.
Well, the funny thing is, we're diverging here, but this is in Vancouver, just across the water from where we are. Blood Alley's in Gastown, which is old Vancouver.
Yeah.
And what's funny is, again, it's called Blood Alley. And the guy told us they actually named it that to give it local color. Yeah. But then she tried to backtrack and say, what? There is some indication they may have called it that earlier. And I thought, no.
No, you already blew it.
Yeah, you can't have it both ways.
No.
And as I said, we were standing there listening to the tour. And then I kept looking at this door into the alley. And sure enough, the alley feels dangerous.
Yeah.
It feels unsettled.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is not, I mean, there were people around. But it just feels like the kind of place where things can happen to you.
Yes.
And I thought, you would not catch me walking here. Getting back to the point, Blood Alley caught my attention before I even knew it was Blood Alley. And this velvet curtain on the Queen Mary
was the same thing.
Caught my attention.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's cool. I want to see what's behind it. So I got closer and closer to it. Now, you haven't seen Twin Peaks, have you?
Uh-uh.
Okay. So the newest season of Twin Peaks, which was aired like 25 years after the original.
Right.
Was a lot darker and more frightening,
okay,
than the original.
Okay.
And it actually, there is this thing David Lynch does where he uses low frequencies and kind of slow camera movement to build tension.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And as I walked towards this black curtain, that's the feeling I got. I got this feeling of increasing tension.
Wow.
As though I was almost like you're walking closer to a
transformer,
electrical
transformer. Yeah, I get it. Yeah,
and it just started like clutching my chest, and I was almost gonna go through the curtain, and I just got this real sense of no, what are you doing?
Yeah,
back off. So I backed off, and then my mother had been exploring, and then she came up around me, and I said, well, she wanted to go look in the alcove, on the other side of the pillar, and I tell you, man, we stepped across that line, past the pillar, nowhere near the area behind the curtain. But I was suddenly filled with this certainty that we were trespassing and we were not welcome.
Wow.
I actually put my arm out in front of her, stopped her from
going.
Like
a soccer mom grabbing the car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I said, no, we just walk backwards.
Wow.
And we walked back. Like, it literally felt, don't turn your back on it. Walk backwards.
And your mom didn't question that?
Nope.
She felt it too, right?
She felt
it.
She didn't feel it. She just trusted me.
Oh, that's good.
And what's interesting is she doesn't normally feel these things. She's had a few things happen. But the story I'm going to get to is all her.
Yeah.
And it surprised even her.
Right.
We stepped backwards and we went back up the steps. But I felt something right behind me until I got up to the next floor.
I have experienced that where they're almost like making sure.
Exactly.
You're leaving. And because you did almost trespass, they feel perfectly within their rights to follow you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it was unnerving.
Yeah, it would be.
So the third and final thing that happened on the Queen Mary was down near the bottom. Apparently there is a Titanic exhibit.
On a boat.
Yeah, I know, right? And then we're going to be showing Airplane, or Airport 77 is our in-flight
on
movie.
On the way home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And alive.
Yeah, exactly. Double feature.
As we serve dinner.
Of course. But right, so we went down to the bottom floor to check out this Titanic exhibit. Of course, it was closed. There was also two weddings, a 100-year birthday party, and a 90-year birthday party on the ship that night.
Holy cow.
It was crazy busy. And so the bottom floor was where one of the weddings was being held. The second was on the top deck. And there were these young Korean men in beautifully tailored suits stumbling around very drunk.
Yeah.
It's an incredible juxtaposition. So we're walking around exploring, kind of weaving our way between these guys, all of whom were very sweet. You know, no one was at all aggressive. So we're walking down one hallway, which is indistinguishable from the dozens of other hallways we've walked down.
Yeah.
And at this point, we've been walking around the ship for 6 hours.
Yeah.
So nothing looks that unusual.
No.
All of a sudden, my mother, she's right next to me, and all of a sudden she blurts out, "We shouldn't go down there." It wasn't even in a tone of voice she normally uses.
Right.
And I looked at her, and she looked shocked. She said, "I don't know why I just said that."
Wow.
And I said, "Oh, well, we won't go down there then."
Yeah, must be a reason.
And she kind of stopped for a second. And she goes, "Let's just get off this floor."
Wow.
And that was it. I mean, nothing.
And it's like, okay.
Yeah. Woke up. And then, so that day, we drove back across the desert to Las Vegas.
Right.
Where I had planned to meet up with Shannon from Into the Fray.
Mm-hmm.
And we had kind of discussed what we were going to do. We were going to get some food or maybe have a drink. Of course, on this show, I have made no bones about my thoughts on Zach Baggins.
Right.
I think Ghost Adventures is a pile of shit.
Yeah.
I think they promote bad information.
And bad ghost hunting.
Bad ghost hunting, bad information. Yeah. I mean, I know he has backpedaled on sort of his more provocative stuff. He's talked about how he regrets.
Well, from what I understand, he's sort of paying for that now. Like, spiritually, he's paying for that.
Oh, totally, yeah. And that actually comes up in the tour.
Oh, okay.
Everything is a portal to hell with that guy. Someone cuts him off in traffic.
Well, that's portal to hell.
That's a demon, yeah, straight from a portal, you know? I've talked a lot of smack about Baggins. We both have on this show.
I haven't.
You bullshit. Ass kisser.
I respect everyone in the field.
Yeah. Yeah, just like I do. But I thought, okay, he's got this haunted museum in Vegas. They just opened in October.
You got to check it out. I would have done the same thing.
I got to check it out.
Yeah. Especially with Shannon.
That's it, yeah.
I mean, come on. Someone who's into it as well.
Exactly.
Come on.
I thought it would be perfect.
Yeah.
So we decided to meet up there. And the museum itself is an 11,000 square foot old school Vegas mansion.
Wow.
Originally owned by, I think, the Wengert family.
That's cool.
And I will say this right now before I say anything else. I think Zach Baggins is a goober.
Uh-huh.
I don't like his show. I think he does more harm than good.
Yeah.
But that friggin' museum is cool as f***.
Wow.
Yep. That guy.
I wonder if they'll put that on the brochure.
Yeah. Cool as f***.
I think Zach's a doofus, but his museum is cool as f***.
But no, it genuinely is. I mean, the tour is 90 minutes. It's not cheap. It's $44 US.
Yeah.
But that place, he is like the Willy Wonka of weird, creepy shit. he has used, because the building was under construction for quite some time.
Right.
And once you're in there, you can tell why. Right. It looks like horseshit from the outside. From the outside, it looks like an abandoned building.
Right.
But inside, he has assembled the most impressive array of crap I've ever seen.
Cool.
And I mean, the Museum of Death, though it was not my bag, was very impressive.
Yeah.
This was, I would say, on a par. For different reasons, but on a par.
Yeah.
He has this just, I'm trying to think of where to start. I mean, you begin the tour. The thing they tell you is, again, no phones, no photography.
Yeah.
No ghost hunting on the tour.
Right.
No trying to
contact. Which is ironic.
Yeah, I know. You start off in like this, in sort of a... the entry area where you have to show your ID, because they don't let anyone under 16 in.
Yeah, because you look under 16.
Yeah, I know, right? And if you're...
Senior's discount, sir.
That's right. No one under 18 is allowed in unaccompanied.
Right.
And no one under 16 is allowed, period.
Right.
You wait in the room, and then you have a guide come out. And the whole, as I said, the whole thing is a guided tour. And I think there's a bit of a disconnect, because each of the rooms has these little info placards.
Right.
Which it is too dark... and you have no time to read.
Right.
So, and the guide speaks very quickly, and you don't have much time in each room. So I think that is something, and I guess because they're open in October, they're still figuring the shit out.
Sure.
So that's a downside. But the guide talks to you. We had Stacia, and she was really good. I mean, was no bullshit. The thing I appreciated, she didn't try to...
creep it up.
Didn't try to creep it up.
I hate that.
Yeah, 100%. And now, when I heard about this place and I heard it's creepy dolls, I thought, well, who gives a shit? Anyone can buy creepy dolls.
Yeah.
But they're creepy antique dolls.
Okay.
And that I respect.
Creepy for a reason.
Creepy for a reason. Yes. They're creepy antique dolls. And a lot of the stuff in there is antique.
Right.
He's really into the carnival. So he's got a lot of antique carnival stuff.
Yeah.
One
makes sense. I mean, he's kind of a carny type.
You joke, but it's true. I mean, he's essentially a modern carny.
Yeah.
You know, he's just as full of shit as a lot of the carnival barkers.
Exactly.
And on that level... only on that level do I respect him.
Oh.
Because he is good
at
that.
So let me get this straight. You respect Zach Baggins.
In a very limited capacity. Let that be clear.
But the real point here is you respect
Zach Baggins. I edit the show and I will determine what this sounds like in a limited capacity.
Brennan respects Zach Baggins.
Take that back.
I need you to hashtag that in the show notes. Hashtag Brennan respects Zach
Baggins. Hashtag this. But it's a lot of antique stuff. I mean, upstairs, there's a lot of specifically carnival stuff.
Right.
Including this really cool, I don't know what you'd call it. It's not a diorama, but it's like a display, massive display, bigger than a huge dining table.
Right.
But with all these motorized carny figurines.
Oh, wow, cool.
And I believe they're all antique.
And haunted?
Oh, probably. Then we'll get to that.
Okay.
My biggest beef, before we get into the specifics of it, with the place was, again, you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
And when you're looking at all these, again, antique skulls, antique dolls, you want to have time to examine them. You know, but you just don't. And I think, again, that's something they'll hammer out.
Yeah.
But the other thing is the smells. They pump in scents. And you were saying that this is something museums are doing.
Some are. Hotels have been doing it for years.
Of course.
They have signature scents when you walk in the lobby, so it makes you feel like you're quote-unquote home.
Right.
But museums are trying to do this. And I know movie theaters experimented with this in the 50s and 60s. Smell-o-vision.
There's one company called 4DX that's trying something like this now.
Right.
But I don't know if smell is a big part of it. There were scratch and sniff things for a while recently.
Right.
But I feel like audiences didn't take to it.
Well, if you go to Disney World in California, they have, or Disneyland, I always get them mixed
Disneyland
up.
In California.
Okay. They have the movie theaters where something pumps on the back of your legs and air is blown on the back of your neck
smells,
and it's all kind of tied to that. So yeah, that's too bad that he's using that though.
The basement is off limits because apparently there is a lot of activity down there, according to them.
Right. Well.
Yeah. They're going
to
say that.
Great way to keep people out until they put the restaurant in.
Yeah, exactly. The Baggins Cafe. The Hobbit Hole.
The Hobbit Hole. That's terrible.
But so we went. Yeah, we did downstairs, and then they take you upstairs. And upstairs, before we went up. Their guide, Stacia, she said, just so you know, once we're upstairs, there's a very particular path I need you to take, and I need you to listen, because there are sensitive displays upstairs that could be an issue for everyone.
Wow.
So it's a good line, right?
Yeah.
But again, now I walked into this thinking, okay, I walked into this expecting to hate the place.
Yeah.
And by this point, I'm surprised that I don't.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed by the amount of stuff he has there. Like, actually, before I get to the ghost, I got to say there are two rooms I think deserve special mention. One is a prison cell. Now, it's bear in mind, this is an 11,000 square foot old school mansion. He has renovated one room to look like the interior of a prison cell, complete with cinder block walls and steel bars.
Okay.
And in there is his serial killer stuff.
Oh, cool.
So he's got a shirt from Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. Yep. I believe he's got one of Charles Manson's shirts. He has more of those plastic things I was telling you about, the pieces of art Manson has.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He has Manson's dentures.
Ew.
Yeah. And I believe there was a serial killer who killed people wearing a Santa suit.
Okay.
And he has the suit in a glass case.
Creepy.
Yeah, and there's other stuff. Again, there's more Gacy art, general art. He has the Hollywood Division mugshot chair.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He bought that, and he's got it's set. The file number is O.J. Simpson.
Nice.
Because you can match it on the wall.
Yes.
And Stacia was saying, they joke that we're not sure what we're going to do if O.J. ever comes here, because he spends a lot of time in Vegas now.
He does, yeah, that's right.
So if he ever comes here, we're going to have to run upstairs, change it. So that was impressive. But even more impressive was a room on the first floor, which, when you walk inside, is constructed to, it's a two-story replica of the interior of Ed Gein's barn.
Ooh.
Yeah, and of course, Ed Gein was a serial killer, very famous for building a suit out of women.
He spawned
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
And a whole bunch of them.
Silence of the Lambs.
Like, he spawned a bunch
of them. And this looked like the interior of a barn. Like, all of a sudden, you walk from a house inside a barn.
That's cool.
It had a steepled roof, or a peaked roof, had sort of timbered walls, and it looked like moonlight was coming through the splits
cool.
in the boards.
Very cool.
And in the middle of the room, he had Ed Gein's actual cauldron that he used to boil the parts in a glass case.
Oh.
And on the wall was his shovel.
Yikes.
So, yeah, I mean, you can tell, and this, again, this is the level on which it nauseates me to say that I respect Zach Bagans. There is a
need. Say what? What did you say?
Shut up, you. Just because you bought me some moose doesn't mean I'm going to put up with your shit. But an enormous amount of care, attention, and passion has been put into constructing this place.
Good.
And he's nailed the details.
Good.
It looks incredible. Yeah. So now we're going to get to the stuff that I think is bullshit.
Right.
And that is upstairs. There's the clown maze.
Right.
Which is...
A clown maze.
Yeah. So it's not really a maze. It's just like a labyrinth.
Right.
But the clowns everywhere. Sometimes they pop out at you.
That's not cool.
I'm not down with that crap.
No.
Thankfully, I was walking just behind this couple.
Yeah.
And so it jumped out on them first.
And you watched them shit themselves?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to look like an asshole in front of Shane.
Excellent.
So...
That's the most important part.
Yeah. But it was there, the vape stuff was so strong.
Right.
And it was clearly meant to smell like the circus, like the sawdust and popcorn. And you got
elephant dung.
That would have been more pleasant. Because it was just like walking through a vape lounge.
Yeah.
It was so intense.
Looking around, where are the douche?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's upstairs. But anyway, so that was that. And then there were three rooms, which the guy described to us as being 18 only.
Okay.
18 plus. And those rooms...
I can just see you like, oh, yeah.
That's right. Let's do this thing.
Finally.
But those rooms, she said, these are really intense rooms. The artifacts in them are very powerful. And I thought, bullshit. Because I did actually feel dizzy when I stepped into the house. So, again,
right.
I do feel like there was something there.
Yeah.
And, again, with that collection of crap...
Of course
there's going to be residual stuff.
Absolutely.
So I wasn't expecting anything conscious. And the first 18-plus exhibit... it didn't do anything to convince me otherwise.
Right.
Because she said, we've had a lot of activity in this room. Well, you know what was in that room?
Hmm.
The Dybbuk box.
Oh.
The original Dybbuk box.
Wow.
He bought it from Jason Haxton.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you who don't know, the story that we actually considered doing an episode on this, but we decided not to because it's just bullshit. but basically, the Dybbuk box is a wine cabinet, which is used for a particular Jewish ceremony that is alleged to hold the spirit of this Jewish demon called the Dybbuk. And there's a whole story behind it, how this elderly Jewish woman was pursued by a demon from the camps, concentration camps during the Second World War, and how she imprisoned it in this box. And then the box was sold at auction and all this crap.
Right.
And eventually a guy named Kevin Manis, he described all this trail of misery that happened to him after buying this box. He put it on eBay. And
thanks, buddy.
Yeah. And that's where the legend begins. But
right.
I have the book written by Jason Haxton, and it's out of print now.
Right.
I managed to track down a used copy. And I think it's very telling because the truth is out of print.
Right.
You want to read the bullshit story, the LA Times article is online.
Right.
They made a movie out of it called The Possession. It's terrible.
Oh, Jesus.
In the book, Jason Haxton says he discovered it's not true.
Right.
He managed to, because he bought this thing and he was having experiences, but he tried to press Kevin Manis. He actually went to, I believe Manis lived in Portland.
Right.
So he went there and said, like, where did you buy this from? Show me where the yard sale was you bought it from. And he forgot where the house was.
Uh-huh.
And eventually Manis revealed to him, okay, I made the whole thing up as an experiment.
Oh, my God.
It's just, I like, all that crap in there, I put in there. I put the box together. But by that point, such a legend had built up around it.
Like Slenderman.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No one remembered that part.
Yeah.
And so, according to the book, Haxton had put this thing in, like, some kind of secure storage, you know, with surrounded by gold to reflect back the evil rays.
And salt.
So, Zach bought it from him. And it has its own room. And so the Dybbuk box is sitting on a pedestal, surrounded by glass, surrounded by a circle of salt.
Right.
And on the wall, the wall's black. Behind it are these holes in it, and there are red lights behind it.
Right.
It's subtle.
Right.
And there's these protection prayers all over the walls because it's so powerful.
Right.
And there's this murmuring over all of it, and supposedly that's a Jewish prayer being spoken to keep the demon at bay.
Clever.
And I have felt more in gay bars than I did in this place.
So not so.
Nothing stirred, not even a mouse.
No.
It was just nothing.
And so what was the other place?
Well, I'm in the presence of this most powerful demonic thing, and you know, there's nothing is happening. Something, okay, this is crap. So then we continue, and the next 18 plus room is Peggy, the haunted doll.
Right.
And The stage of the guide, she did the same thing. She said, this is an 18-plus room. You don't have to go in if you don't want to. And the weirdest thing happened.
Hmm.
I thought to myself, I don't want to go in there.
Hmm.
I thought, no, I'm being stupid. This whole place is crap. I mean, I just stood in the presence of the Dybbuk box, one of the most powerful artifacts of the modern era, and I was bored.
Yeah.
So there, you know, but I thought, I'm being stupid. So I went in.
Yeah.
And the way she said it is, she said, Peggy is very active. And she said, she likes it when you say hello and when you say goodbye. So everyone make sure you say hello, make sure you say goodbye. We walked in, and Peggy is in almost like one of those American Girl dolls.
Yeah.
Standing in a hutch about 6 feet away from where you walk in. You can't actually reach her.
Right.
And in front of her, they have one of those stupid ghost boxes.
Yeah.
they cycle through radio stations.
Yeah.
And so it's just noise.
Yeah.
So we're looking at this thing, and everyone says, hi, Peggy, you know. And this Stacia, she started asking questions. And you would get little bits of stuff, little voices, nothing concrete. And she said, does anyone have any questions for Peggy? Well, between the stations changing all the time, because it's quite loud, and everyone talking, if anyone asked questions, you couldn't understand a damn thing.
No.
So I kind of tuned out. So then it was time to leave. And we all said, goodbye, Peggy.
Yeah.
And we started walking out the door. I was one of the last people to leave. And just as I'm stepping out the door, the radio cycles through stations, and I hear, Brennan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I step out of the room, and I thought, did I hear that?
Yeah.
And I'm standing there, and Stacia, she's looking around. She goes, did anyone hear that at the end? It kind of sounded like Brennan. And I put up my hand, I said, my name's Brennan. And she said, oh. Well, she's been doing names today, so that makes sense.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, well, I guess.
Creepy.
And as we walked to the next room, Shannon said to me, she said, you know, I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to be the first one to say anything, but I heard that too.
Yeah.
And I just kind of kept it to myself.
That's cool.
Yeah. And what's fascinating, too, is I was exhausted after that.
Yeah.
As soon as I left that room, it was just like the air went out of me.
Wow.
So we did the rest of the tour. We go back downstairs.
Yeah.
And there's one final 18-plus room. It's the last room on the tour. And our guide said, not only is this optional for customers, this is optional for employees. And she said, I'm not going in there.
So what's in there?
Well,
Zach Baggins.
That's right.
It's too horrible.
Who wants to have a conversation with me? I have lots of anecdotes. Look at my giant glasses. Your opinions don't matter to me.
No, nor does fact.
Yeah, they'll... Yeah.
No, so it's really in there.
I don't know the story because I don't follow Zach Baggins at all, apart from knowing he has a haunted museum and disliking his television show in his face.
Yeah.
But apparently he just released a documentary called Demon House.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. About a house he bought somewhere in the States.
In Indiana, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Now, apparently, again, it's one other portal to hell. Jack. There were murders there, things like this. And I guess he brought one of the staircases.
Okay.
And some of the dirt.
Yeah.
To here. And so that's in that room. And according to them, while he was there, he saw a shadow figure so powerful, it damaged his vision, and that's why he wears glasses.
Really?
The court, that's what they said, yes.
Not the fact that he's pushing 40.
No.
Nothing to do with that.
No.
So you didn't go in there?
So no, I looked at the room, and I had the same feeling. And after the other
one. So why'd you puss out?
That's why. That's why I pussed out, because I don't want that yet. I thought to myself, no, I'm not. No, I really don't want to go in there. Yeah. And this time I'm going to listen to it.
Yeah.
So I haven't actually had a chance to talk to Shannon to see what her experience was in there.
But then you haven't had a chance. You were with her.
I know, but we were talking about other stuff.
Oh, my God. You're the worst.
Yes, I know. But I'm very handsome, so it balances.
Yeah, that's it.
Good answer.
Good answer.
You're stuck in a room with me, Gibbs. Good answer. I have plastic forks within reach.
Okay, so...
So, anyways, the room, it's a small room. It's got all the crap in it, and they only let 5 people in at a time.
Right.
And you have to close the door behind you once you go in.
Right.
So, anyways, they all went in there. But one time they opened the door, I looked in, and I found it really unpleasant to look in there.
Hmm.
Just look... It reminded me of this building I used to... Next door to the one I used to live in.
Yeah.
Up on the third floor, there was just this one stretch of the hallway. It was like smoke...
Yeah.
But there was no smoke.
Right.
And it was unpleasant to look at.
Yeah.
It was like that.
Yeah.
And then he actually has a replica of the thing he claims to have seen in there.
Mm.
And it's also, it's just a shadow shape, but it's quite disturbing.
Yeah.
Just to, I don't know, there's something, either he's expertly designed this thing to be unsettling to the eye, or pardon me, he's paid someone to expertly design it.
Yeah, let's be real.
Yeah. But whatever the case, it was genuinely unsettling.
Wow. Okay.
And that whole room I just found, and I, like I said, I was so wiped out.
Yeah.
After Peggy, I thought, no, I'm not. No, screw it.
Good to know.
So yeah, so that was a haunted tour, and again,
cool.
I was shocked, genuinely shocked that I enjoyed it, and that I actually had an experience there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
that's cool.
Yeah, and I mean, Shannon was. We were joking afterwards. We went for a drink at Stratosphere, and she was joking that, you know, she doesn't have experiences.
Right.
So this was sort of novel for her because
right.
she's not normally around these things when they happen. So it was a whole thing, and again, I was surprised.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's really good.
So that's the story of the Museum of Death, the Queen Mary, and Zach Bagans Haunted Museum.
It's a pretty good trip.
Yeah, it was a good trip.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm glad to be back. I'm
yeah.
fighting off a bit of a bug, but I'm made of stern stuff. And I have nothing to do for the next couple days, so I'm just going to chill out.
Perfect.
My birthday on Saturday.
Yay.
Yeah, that's it. All right, we'll be right back with some quick listener mail. Welcome back. All right, so that was sort of off-the-cuff discussion of my trip down through the States.
It sounds amazing.
It was a great time.
Yeah.
I hope to get back to L.A. soon. Speaking of which, we did try and sort of do the meet-and-greet thing, but it was really last minute that I put it up, so I don't expect anyone to actually turn up.
Yeah.
It was because I was traveling with someone. I
yeah.
just couldn't guarantee too far in advance when I was going to be where.
No.
But I know, say, if I do end up down in the States, in L.A. again, which, again, I hope to be. I know Pete wrote in. He said he was
yeah.
sorry to have missed
yeah.
us. So, yeah, next time I'm down there, I will make a point of advertising that better in advance.
Cool.
And picking a better spot, because I didn't realize how busy the Burger King, or sorry, the In-N-Out Burger on Sunset is.
Oh.
That place is constantly
In-N-Out
busy.
In-N-Out Burger's amazing.
It's so good.
I love In-N-Out
so
Burger.
So good. I had a double burger while I was sitting there waiting.
Okay. Only one?
No, I had two. I did have two. But it's so good.
Yeah.
So good. But like I said, the lineup was constant. I you had to kind of jockey for tables.
Pretty
so
nice.
I couldn't have picked a worse place if I'd picked a traffic island in the middle of I-5.
Good to know.
So next there time I will pick a better spot. So we're going to get into a little bit of listener mail before
mm-hmm.
we go.
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you.
We actually had two sets of emails from people who were surprised at how we looked.
I know.
Which was funny how that worked out.
It's weird because that's never come up, actually.
No, I know.
Until...
We had one from Samuel. who said, anytime I listen to a podcast, I get a mental image of the hosts that are always 100% wrong. This is the image I get whenever I listen to y'all's amazing show. And I believe you are the...
Elderly black man?
I believe this is from The Mummy. Oh, no, that's a DVD player in the background. But I believe he was in The Mummy. He played like an old scholar or something.
Yeah.
And I'm the Jake from State Farm guy. I think that's what that's meant to be.
I prefer my character.
Yeah, oh, I prefer your character, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I have been a sad cubicle warrior.
Yeah, you look like, that picture is a very cubicle warrior.
Yeah. We also had an email from Travis who said, I'm a delivery driver and I've binged almost all the episodes. Ian looks nothing like I expected, and Brennan... dot, dot, dot. That's all I get. I get an ellipsis. All right. That's fine.
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks for that.
We had an email from Rachel who shared a story with us about an antique radio that her parents bought when she was a kid. And really cool story, Rachel. Thank you for sending it. And
absolutely. Again,
we'll tell that on a listener story episode upcoming.
Yep.
We had a couple messages from Emily talking about the fairies. She has a connection to the fairies,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was really fascinating. Of course, we did a fairy episode for episode 26.
Yep.
It's always fascinating for me when I meet someone who has a connection to that world.
Yeah.
I know Shannon did an episode on a woman, I think Pam was her name, and we talked a little bit about that. And I think Pam's story is very, very affecting.
Cool.
Definitely worth checking out. And Emily also followed up with another email of personal stories. And again, we're going to be telling those, but thank you so much for writing in, Emily.
Definitely.
Amy wrote in to say that she always looks forward to every episode and that her coworkers think she's a spaz because she laughs uncontrollably like a maniac during the Annabelle / Heart of Bullshit episode. So that's great. So Winter wrote us back to say that she had another experience, which may be a dream, maybe an actual experience. It's hard to say, or a combination of the two.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for writing in, Winter, and we are going to be, again, using that on a future episode.
On the dream episode?
The dream episode.
Is really just a dream?
It's all that we see and seem, but a dream episode within a dream. Amanda wrote in to say that she had a crazy experience the Sunday before she wrote. Again, thank you so much for keeping us up to date on the activity in your place, Amanda. And like I said, we'll share it all on a listener episode.
Yeah.
We actually are collecting a huge volume of
listener
stories.
I was going to say, I think we need to do a listener episode the next couple of shows.
Yeah, I'm thinking so too. And I think we had one more email. Nope, we don't. That's it.
Yay.
Game over. All right. So I think we're going to head out. It's getting late. But thank you, as always, for listening. We always appreciate it. Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or Stitcher, everywhere else you can rate podcasts. Yeah. Put in a rating for us. It just helps get more eyes on the show.
Yeah, and do share us on Facebook, that kind of thing, even if people are leaving Facebook in droves now.
Yeah, I don't blame them. Yeah.
But do share and spread that around because that helps a lot.
Totally. And feel free if you want to friend us on Facebook. That's fine. Neither of us post very much publicly, but please feel free to friend us. You can find me on Twitter at LargelyTheTruth and on Instagram at LargelyTheTruth. Ian is, we do have a Twitter account for the Ghost Story guys. We don't use it very much.
Yeah.
But Ian is not on social media apart from here. So,
Facebook.
Oh, apart on Facebook. Yeah. Pardon me. Wow. Apart from Facebook.
And I do have Instagram. I just never use it.
I think that counts as not being there.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Twitter, which I never use.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, and I even have a Pinterest board, which I've never used.
Tell us more about the things you've never done. Jesus. Well, I've never been on Vero, so I'm not on there. I've never been on FetLife. Oh, wait, no, there was that time. Okay, never mind. Ian, you've got a book signing coming up.
A book signing at the end of the month at the Indigo Store in West Shore Mall.
Right, so that's on
in Langford.
March 31st,
I want to say.
Yes, March 31st.
Yeah.
From
noon till 2.
Right, okay.
I think. And then my book's getting republished. That's exciting.
Oh, of course. Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, it's getting republished. That's pretty much all there is. They sold them all out.
Now second edition.
Second edition. And the other thing that's happening is this summer, Brennan and I will have a presence along with ghost famous author Barbara Smith, who's done over 30 ghost books.
Who's pretty cool.
She is very cool. The three of us are going to have a book table at the Sydney Market in Sydney, BC. It's awesome. It's a great market. Brennan's never been, but I was just telling him all about the food.
I can't wait.
So I knew he would be intrigued. And we're going to be there once a month for June, July, and August.
Totally.
So
and we'll publish
the dates.
We'll put the dates up beforehand.
When we got them. And please come and say hi.
Totally.
Bring friends, bring cash, buy a book.
That's right.
Otherwise, we're going to be sitting there at a very expensive table for absolutely
twiddling
no
our thumbs. And I got to order more books. So I gotta pay for that too. So
yeah, you do.
Bring money.
Bring money.
Bring adulation.
Although I take credit cards, Brennan doesn't.
Oh yeah, I think I've got a Square thing.
You better get on that.
Yeah, no kidding. I also do a radio show every Wednesday on Stoke FM. That's largely the truth. You can listen to that at 8 p.m. Pacific. every Wednesday. Again, 92.5 Stoke FM if you're in the Revelstoke area, or via the web at stokefm.com.
Very cool.
That's your weekly trip through the soundtrack of my life. And it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
And I think that's going to do it.
Yeah.
So we'll be back in a little less than 2 weeks. This is sort of a weird stutter episode because I was out of town.
Yep.
But until then, back into the darkness we go.
Capital K.
Rubbing my nips.
Oh, gross. He actually did rub
his nips. I did, yeah.
That's so disturbing.
I was on the boat for St. Patrick's Day, and thank God, I despise St. Patrick's Day.
I did a ghost walk on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, God, how was
it
that?
It was a nightmare.
I bet.
Not a big reader, folks.
Yeah, that's right. Books are for schmucks. Sorry, one sec.
Please tell me it's recording.
I think so.
Oh, Lord.
Is it? Yeah, it's recording.
Oh, thank God.